The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I thought today we would talk about and reflect on and practice with a particular form of compassion. There are many different levels of compassion, and it can look a lot of different ways. In fact, I'm remembering that Bhikkhu Anālayo, when he teaches the Brahma Viharas, he teaches them with an image for each one. And for compassion, he chooses the sunset, partly because it's close to darkness in the way that compassion is close to dukkha, suffering. But also he chooses the sunset because it has so many different colors. And there's all these beautiful different ways that compassion expresses itself. I love that image. And it's beautiful at the same time as compassion is. So this one I've chosen for tonight, I think, is interesting to single out and reflect on, and that is the compassion of modeling. And I don't mean like a runway model or a fashion model, but like being compassionate through your very way of being, such that you're kind of an example without having to say a lot or do a lot or proclaim anything about yourself, but just being a kind of a quiet model. And there's an example of this from the Buddhist teachings. Actually, there was a time when a certain Brahmin came to the Buddha and he asked, "Do people have Master Gotama, that's the Buddha, for their leader, their helper, and their guide? And do these people follow the example of Master Gotama?" And the Buddha says, "Yes, actually, that's the case. They follow my example." And so then they go on and talk about some other things, including practicing alone in the forest. And at the end of the sutta, the Buddha comes back to this idea that the Brahmin first talked about with him. And he says, "Now, Brahmin, it might be that you think perhaps Gotama is not free from lust, hate, and delusion, even today. And that's why he still goes to practice in the forest. But you should not think thus. It is because I see two benefits that I still practice in the forest. One, I see a pleasant abiding for myself here and now. And two, I have compassion for future generations." It's kind of interesting, right? So first of all, he just enjoys practicing in the woods, because why not? It's beautiful to be among the trees. But also he's saying that he goes there because people imitate him. And so if he goes into the woods to practice, other people will probably get the idea that they can or should do that too. And that would be good for them. So the Buddha is kind of modeling without saying you should go in the forest and practice. He just does it himself. And then other people get the idea that that's a good way to be. In a different teaching, the Buddha says that it's good for us to follow the ethical precepts, but it's even better if we inspire other people to also follow the ethical precepts. So somehow the way that we're following them might encourage others without us having to say, "You really should do it this way." We just be that way in a certain way, and others feel invited toward that kind of behavior. So, you know, at a sort of a fundamental, almost ape-like level, right? The Buddha got that we imitate each other, right? We imitate each other. And so if that's how it is with social creatures, so maybe could part of our compassionate action be in the world, be to behave in a way that's worthy of imitation? I kind of like this. It's like the way Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see in the world. Just be it. Don't go talk about it and tell everybody what they need to do. Just do it. So it's beautiful. It's a beautiful offering to the world, because to simply make our life into what we value most deeply. We don't have to be good at making speeches. We don't have to organize people. We don't have to even have good health. It's something that we can do no matter the state of our body or our life. We can live in line with our values. But we do have to be willing to train our mind in such a way, right? So that we can do that, so that we can embody that and become this beautiful model for others. So I thought to offer that as kind of an orientation as we consider what to be happy about today. So let's go ahead and sit. Let's go ahead and sit together, settling in. Finding your meditation place, whether you're going to sit on the floor or in a chair, or if you're lying on your bed, you could even stand. That's fine. Whatever feels right for you right now. And allowing yourself to settle in and having the sense, yes, we're meditating now. Closing the eyes, if that's comfortable for you. And just feeling into the body in this posture. How is it to be sitting or lying down right now? Maybe feeling the place where you're resting. So your seat against the cushion of the chair, your legs or feet against the floor. Feeling into the stability. Groundedness. And just softening the body and allowing yourself to be supported by what you're sitting on. And inviting some ease by softening the muscles of the forehead and the jaw, softening the eyes and the eye sockets. Softening the throat and down into the shoulders. Softening the arms and hands. Chest, the rib cage, down into the belly area. Softening the hip joints, inviting ease in the legs and feet. So just encouraging ease. And if there are parts of the body that are painful right now or that feel tense, that's fine. It's enough that we invite softening. And in the mind, inviting mindfulness, present moment awareness. And also some softening. Just as we let the body settle in and soften, let the mind settle into this moment. You can even imagine releasing a muscle in the brain area, as if we could literally soften the mind. Less tension around thinking. Although, of course, thoughts are fine, they're occurring. Perhaps tuning into the breath coming in and going out. Maybe imagining that the breath energy is spreading throughout the body, not just the literal air of the physical breath, but more a feeling of aliveness or energy circulating around or spreading around the body. Just inviting some warmth in the heart. Your sense of care or valuing of this meditation, of yourself, of this group, whatever feels inspiring. Sense of care in the heart. Just as we did with the breath, imagine that care circulating around the body. Perhaps as you breathe, it flows into all the little cracks and crevices of the body, infusing your being sitting here. Even if there's pain or if the emotions are difficult, there can be a real sense of ease or peace or some mild form of joy just from being connected to your caring heart. And then in the sense of Gandhi, just being that, sitting with this infusing of the being with whatever care is present in our heart right now, and sitting in this way. Okay. So, in a few moments, we'll have a chance to talk about this among yourselves in the breakout rooms. We'll be in approximately groups of three. Maybe there will be some fours for 10 minutes together. And the question that I'd like you to discuss among yourselves. Actually, there's two options. One is to talk about what aspect of your being now could be seen as this form of compassion. What about your way of being would be a good example for others in some way? Or if you prefer, you can talk about what you would like to offer through your behavior. As your practice continues, what would you like to have evolve into this kind of way of being? And remember, it can be quite simple. For the Buddha, it was, I go on retreat in the woods, and I hope other people see me doing that. So, as you think about that, let me comment a little bit on just a reminder for many of you about being in these groups together. You can spiral around, like each person can share a little bit about what this question means to them, and then the next person, and the next person. And if it comes back, you might get a second chance to speak. So you don't need to say absolutely everything the first time that it comes to you. And we want to be very respectful of different people's ideas about compassion. Remember, I said at the beginning that it's likened to a sunset because it has so many different colors and so many different aspects to it. So we're just making a mosaic. We're not trying to come to an agreement about it or define it or judge whose is the best or anything. It's really just we're creating a mosaic of our different ways of being that might be inspiring for others. Or that we hope will be as we continue to practice and develop. And you don't need to share absolutely everything, just share what's comfortable for you. And that's good enough. And let everyone have their own experience. Okay. So when you're ready, you can go ahead. So, how was that? Questions or comments? I'd certainly be interested in hearing any of your wisdom or compassion, something that you're willing to share from your groups. Yeah, Ali.
Hi, Kim. Thank you for being here. Yeah, as I was sharing in there, I just got into this like train of thought in my own head. When I'm doing the act of compassion, I'm actually receiving also, as we know. But I'm just kind of contemplating on it. How much am I doing it for myself? Is this like a selfish thing to do? But really, it really doesn't matter as long as the other one is in. Receiving a benefit to my knowledge, that's good enough. I mean, I don't need to kind of like check in my motivation of doing this. I'm just wondering if you can open up to what degree is it helpful to see what my mo how much motivation I have in like, gaining something when I'm being of an act of service. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it's certainly valuable to check in with the intention, the motivation as to whether or not our acts we have strings attached to them in some way or another. And of course, the only way we can do that is to check in and think about our helpful acts in the world. And so the Buddha actually says that reflecting on our own ethics and our own generosity is something that we should do, not in an egotistical way, like, oh, this makes me so good, but as a way of cultivating joy and happiness and also concentration. So it's maybe different than the message we get in our culture we're explicitly encouraged to reflect on that. But the question I asked was about what things do you do, not as acts of, deliberate acts of service, but just your way of being might be worth imitating. Like, are you a relatively calm person, or do you attempt to use wise speech at work, such that if people imitated the way you speak, that would be good? Did you come up with things like that in your life? This is the classic, do I act myself as I want the world to look? And I promise it's not an act of ego to say something. You. Oh, are you able to unmute? There you go. Oh, you had it. No, you're still muted, Hugh. We can't
There we
hear
go.
you.
Okay.
There you go.
Some of the things that came up in our group were the vow that we all take to do no harm, and the actual the practice of living nonviolently by
Right.
not going to war, not being a soldier, not engaging in combat, either physical, verbal, or mental, or not
Beautiful.
being oppositional, And another one that popped up was being quiet, being out at a party maybe, or a dinner with a lot of chaotic conversation going on, just sitting quietly and not participating, not getting jumping in, but just breathing and just being there. And thinking about the goodness of the people who are chattering away, who are not enacting their inner goodness, but looking at it and seeing it anyway, the things
Nice.
like that popped up,
That's beautiful. And then maybe if there was somebody else at the table who was feeling a little overwhelmed or not wanting to participate, they would see that and think, oh, it's optional to get wrapped up in this. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Serena, should be able to unmute. There you are.
Yeah. Unless you send the message, I wasn't able to unmute. When you send the message, I was able to unmute. Okay, just for information's sake.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. It seems to me that the more in pain I am, and the more in need I am, the less I'm capable of acting in a way that will be good for the whole. That's an awareness that I have. Yeah, that the less pain I'm feeling and suffering, the more I'm able to see the possibility of acting in such a way that would benefit the whole.
That's a really clear observation and a good one. It is like that for people. We have reduced capacity when we're burdened with suffering or stress or pain in some way. And this can help us understand why other people behave the way they do sometimes. And it's true that, and then as we have more of that, more capabilities related to having less overwhelm. This is one of the reasons that mindfulness practice is so good, is because it increases our capacity to be with life as it unfolds. And the more capacity we have, then the more we're able to act in ways that are beneficial, as you said. So this is kind of a way that our mindfulness practice ends up benefiting others.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wayne.
I think I'm trying to model thinking or feeling like I might be practicing, even though I cannot remember anything about the names and the categories and the lists of Theravada Buddhism, and that I just may have very little memory, but I can still help other people and feel like I'm doing okay,
That's
even
great. Freedom,
though
freedom from lists.
I can't remember a list to save my life.
That's great. And yet I know that you're quite a dedicated practitioner. So I think that's great. Probably just saying what you did probably frees up at least a few other people here who are thinking, whew, I can't think of a list either. But I know that the way Wayne's a good practitioner, and so maybe I don't need to burden myself with that. That's great.
I frequently have lose the names of my fellow RVs for 5 or 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's okay. It's what's in your heart that comes across. Amy.
Thank you. I was just thinking about how I read somewhere at some point that like mindfulness practice increases our ability to see like micro gestures, like to read people, and like how they're feeling and truly what's going on like through the body. And I think that the nuance in which I can like see someone and help them feel seen or supported or know where like I can nurture a little, like see, like quickly be able to see, like, oh, somebody needs help with this or that, like, and I think that's been something for my Dharma practice. I think I kind of would like notice, like, oh, where can I give back? Where can I help? Where can I be of service? And
Nice.
then a deep seeing is something I definitely long for in the world. Like, that's why I come to these groups, is like the feeling of being seen and met feels so profound. So.
Beautiful. Yeah, so that's a valuable thing in the world, and you've attuned yourself to being even better at it through mindfulness training. Beautiful. Thank you. These have been really beautiful comments. So we may be complete, but I just want to make sure anyone else doesn't want to offer anything else. Okay, good. Well, may our beautiful practice continue. Oh, Serena, did you have another one?
I just wanted to thank you. I
Well, thank
wanted to
you.
thank you for bringing a lot of equanimity when you come. I'm very grateful for that. Very, very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And for all of us, I think our coming to happy hour is probably something that's well worth imitating, right? A pleasant abiding for ourselves here and now, and compassion. Because we would hope that others might want to do it too. So may our beautiful practice go forward and be a blessing to the whole world. Thank you for coming, everyone, and have a wonderful evening or day, whatever time it is for you. Be well.
Bye-bye. Thank you.